Morning, friends. It was... And fans are getting me. So, we're happy to be here this morning just for a few moments to speak with you. And I don't think Brother Neville ever has any certain place in the Scriptures where he's going to have Sunday school. So we just, maybe it's like the Holy Spirit as we feel led to start wherever he desires or what chapter we're to read from. I kind of like it that way. There's no regular routine about it, and nothing formal. We just receive it as from the Lord and go right ahead. And I've been pretty busy. We had a lovely meeting at Cato Tabernacle, and the most lovely part of it, besides the healing, to my opinion, was last night the altar call, where the 100 poured down the line there and packed all the altar space out in every aisle and up and down the sides and for people coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the main thing after all, is see people being born again, coming into the presence of God. And see the little group here, we don't have any denomination or no membership. We just have fellowship one with another. What comes in, we preach the gospel to them. I just wanted to recognize this morning two brethren in the back that I know very well, two dear friends of mine, Brother Stockton from Canada, he and his friend, and I'm up in, I believe the Candy Man. What is the facial here, brother? I can't. And then the other next to you there, that's right. Eating his candy coming down the road. I should have known where he lived that day. So we're very grateful to have them in today as our visiting friends with us. They're fixing, I think, to go on to Canada now and then come on over to the next meeting, which will be at beginning this week, the latter part of this week, and the 23rd at Minneapolis, the Christian Businessman. Thursday night will be in Chicago at the Chicago Gospel, I believe it's the Philadelphia Church, this coming Thursday night in Chicago. This afternoon we're supposed to be at Junior Cash's about 2 o'clock now for, if everything works around right, the dedication of that tabernacle. And I think he said he had some mutes that the words got around about the mutes being healed at Indianapolis, which had born the mute, was about 28 years old and never spoke or heard. And they're bringing some mutes in there this afternoon, if I can just get into it now to pray for them. And that's on
103 State Road 3,
at the just above Charleston. If I can possibly get there, I've got some mighty strenuous things and got to do right away until then. Tomorrow down, got to go down in Kentucky on a trip. And it kind of keeps pretty busy, but after I get through these meetings, I got a little time. I have a little vacation. I'll be back in about 6 weeks. I'm going to Canada and then over to the West Coast. So be in prayer for me. I got lots of decisions to make right away. So real important decisions. So you pray for me. I'll be depending on you to pray for me. Now, the services tonight is our dear beloved pastor, Brother Neville, who has always been an inspiration. And to come in of a morning, I thought, just come in, sit down, listen to him speak. But he's one man that's got a lot of courtesy. he wants someone he prefers. I think that's scripture, preferring one another. You see, I like that. And I'm sure we're all happy of Brother Neville, our pastor, being that type of person. What a man he is at his heart. See, that's. And he expressing himself like that shows what he is. Now, being kind of I just been up about 35 minutes, so then I kind of, in the middle here, I have to stand on. I got three places picked out in the scripture. Got one on 1 Peter, the other on the book of Jude, and one on Revelation. Now, where are we going to start? I just kind of. May the Lord help us now and bless us greatly and abundantly as we look to Him. And so, I hope that fan doesn't cut too much draft from anyone, does it? Or I think that's mostly for the pulpit, isn't Brother Cox this year? Yeah, well, I'm sure of that. It does me a lot of harm. This was no covering on top of my head. Maybe the women's supposed to have a covering up there, but not, I guess, the man or not. come out and the pores never closed up behind where the hairs come out and just the least draft, and I'm hoarse in a few minutes. So I have to kind of watch that. Old age just does something to you, doesn't it?
Hey.
Well, over, let's try the book of... I'm afraid I'll get too deep as I try to get into the book of Jude here, because it was on the gainsaying of Korah and running after the Arab Balaam and perishing the gainsaying of Korah, which will probably take us a long time. And we want to pray for the sick that's here this morning. Let's turn over to Revelation and start there just for a verse or two to get a little background and teach for a few minutes till the kiddies come out. And we'll close and have prayer for the sick right away. Now, the book is the last book of the Bible, and there's no one in here. This same book said that no man in heaven or on earth or beneath the earth was worthy or able to take the book, to open it, or to loose the seals or anything. No man, archbishop or whoever he may be, he's not worthy and had no way of doing it. And then the Lamb came that was slain before the foundation of the world and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne, and for he was worthy, and he opened it and loosed the seals.
Amen.
So let's just ask him if he'll loose it to us this morning and open it while we bow our heads just a moment. Our Heavenly Father, today we're grateful to thee for the privilege of coming to thee in the way of prayer, and for believing and having a faith that thou will honor whatever we ask, because not because it's we asking, but because we're obeying what you said. Ask, shall receive. You have not because you ask not. You ask not because you believe not. And Father, we love to ask you because we believe that we will receive that what we've asked for. And the first thing, Father, for my own sins and the sins of this congregation this morning, I humbly ask forgiveness of all of the sins of disobedience and sins of omission and whatever it might be. We pray, God, that you'll cleanse our hearts and souls just now from all iniquity, all sin, trespasses, and let the Holy Spirit just renew in us a right kind of a heart and mind to serve you. Grant it, Father. We pray that you'll heal all the sick and afflicted, and by the word, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing of the word of God. And may the Holy Spirit now come in and take a hold of the word. Take it right out into those new, fresh, clean hearts out there. And plant it there with great faith that'll just move them higher, higher up the road until they are in the presence of the Lord Jesus and receive their healing blessings that they're asking for that's what we come for, is to pray to thee and to ask thee and to be cleansed and scoured out and healed and set back into service again, Lord, to serve you in every little corner that thou hast sent us to. We ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus, God's Son. Amen. The book of Revelations was the sealing of the life testimony of the Lord Jesus. And it was given, the first chapter we'll start at. I was thinking maybe we'd start over in some of the other symbols. Now, the whole book is written by symbols. There's hardly anything just direct with a word where you just place it out. It's by symbols. And God has a way of doing that and a reason for doing it. God does nothing without he has a reason behind it. And would anybody, this is a class now, would anybody have a thought for the reason he did that? Here it is. So he could hide it from the eyes of the wise and prudent and would reveal it to babes such as would learn. Isn't he kind to do us that way? Now, if the great scholars and so forth had all the gospel and the way they set it down, we just have to bow to that, and then they'd go out here and make all kinds of traditions and things, and we'd have an awful time. And they'd get it with their speaking in their scholarly way till, why, they'd be going over our heads and we wouldn't even know nothing about it. We're so thankful that our kind Heavenly Father had mercy on the poor and the illiterate, as I am myself, to promise me and to you that if we would just sit down and ask, that he would reveal himself to us. Isn't that wonderful? All of our creeds and all of our emotions and everything that we've got All those are just added. There's only one thing that any person has to do to know Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus with all thy heart. Thou shalt be saved. So now we have forms of baptisms, and we have different creeds and different things that we do and little things set up, but that's all man-made.
Amen.
Just where we've taken this and had a little issue out of it, and over here make a little issue, the Presbyterians and the Evangelicals and the Fundamentals and so forth, and the Pentecostals and the Holiness and the Calvinists, and they all have a little theories that they had them. And they make doctrines out of that one. Really, the only thing is believe on the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Search the Scriptures. There are they that testify me, said Jesus. Now, how simple it is then, no matter how illiterate, that's uneducated, any person might be, they can be just as saintly and godly as an archbishop.
Amen.
Isn't that wonderful? No matter how downcast you are, whether you're a potentate or whether you be a streetwalker, God loves just the same and died just as much for the prostitute as he did for the potentate. You go to thinking of those things, then it changes everything, doesn't it? It changes the whole mental attitude. Changes your opinion towards God. Sometimes you're being just leaning a little to the election's sake, and that's the reason I turned away this morning from Peter, because last few times you have been hitting election so hard, I thought maybe get away from that just for a little bit, because you think I don't want to go to seed zone nothing. But the thing that I was thinking of here, someone says, Brother Branham, if God election, yes, and if he's called to the election, well then, my, just do anything I wish to. Well, that shows you haven't been elected yet. Because you would love him so much to think that he loved you so much when you were unlovable. And before you had anything to do with it, he chose you. How could you turn anything down like that? Well, it looks to me like that would just set, that would set a election so much higher than law. It would, it would set a legalistic idea. Why, it would just go beyond anything to think that when I was unlovable, he loved me. And to think when I had nothing I could do about it, he picked me up and saved me by his grace. I surely should be grateful enough to serve him and love him. So that's the way we feel about him when we count the blessings over and think, what has God said now? Just those who have a high school diploma or at least 2 degrees of college can ever be my disciple. Well, what would we poor illiterate people do? Or I'm talking to myself when I say we, I mean in my, me and my family. See? What would we do? What would any of us do? What would the poor little housewives do? As he said, just the clergy is going to be saved. Just the ministry, that's all. The rest of them, he's just to set an example and make them people try to live halfway right. What would you poor little housewives do? And all you? You'd be lost. Why did he just say the white race was going to be saved? That's all. The dark race, the brown race, the yellow race, nobody's got anything to do with it. You're all lost. Wouldn't that be terrible? I'm so glad he said whosoever will. Just let him come. Don't matter young, old, little, black, white, brown, anything. Just come. Drink from the fountains of the Lord freely. Don't have to pay a thing for it. Not a thing. And remember, after the invitation given, still, you can't come until he calls you in election.
Amen.
That's right. No man can. Here he says, the fountain's free for everybody. And no man will come except my Father calls him first. And then when a knock comes and said, I'm inviting you to come sup with me. Children, come on. How could you turn it down?
Amen.
That would look to me like mental deficiency. to turn an invitation down like that after the kind heavenly Father. Not just to have fellowship here, but to be saved forever.
Amen.
To live with him in the bountiful of his mercy and in his glory, and his spotless old carnal mind for a pure, holy, sanctified one.
Amen.
And to swap this old frail body that's dwindling away. And swap it for an immortal one, which will never fail, and receive a crown that will never fade away. And swap death for life, to swap hell for heaven, to swap gloom for happiness. Oh my, and bid ye come. How could you turn it down?
Amen.
How could you turn it down? It's terrible to think of the very thought of turning it down, isn't it? And oh, my, I love to see God heal his children, certainly. Don't get me wrong. But one reason I've been noticing, if you notice lately, I've been trying everywhere I go, when I get an invitation, to press in to preach just a little bit. I've let out on my preaching and putting too much on just the anointing and working on the eternal part of the supernatural, rather. That when you see visions, and they're wonderful, and I thank God for it. But yet, the preaching of the Word is a million miles beyond that. When I see the lame walk, the blind see, the other night, when that lady who was sitting there with paralyzed with arthritis and dying in the seat where she was sitting, and the Lord Jesus, with his mercy, showed a vision over, called her out of that chair. Her doctor came to me in my room and said, "Reverend Branham, I want to ask you, what did you do?" I said, "Nothing. It was her faith in the Lord Jesus." How we all love that. How we love it to see the deaf and dumb, born deaf and dumb to a world that's never spoken or heard, just get all like a stump. And then to hear that person stand up and talk and hear. That's wonderful. But, oh, nothing like to see a lost soul come weeping their way down to the altar, saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." The mute will die again. The paralytic will die. All the sick will get sick again and die. But that soul that's saved is saved for eternity, forever. Never to perish. He that heareth my words, believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting eternal life, and shall never come into judgment, but done already passed from death unto life, because they believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's marvelous. All that ought to just set in a reaction of love that would just spread all over the world. That's what Jesus intended it to do, the gospel to all the world. It's a chain in the human heart so they can't sleep day and night until people are being saved. Look at Paul, a prisoner, he said, of the Lord Jesus. A Jew sent to the Gentile. His people excommunicated him as quickly as he turned to the Gentile. See? But he became a prisoner of the Lord Jesus. Like it would be in Africa. The white man so degrades the colored man there. Until if you're even caught associating. Oh, my. Ha-ha. See? Calling them all kinds of names. Don't even believe they got a soul, many of them. And to think that a white man then being called, a man like Paul was called to the salvation of that man. Thank God it's not in America and many other countries, but I say in that. Maybe to the yellow man. Go on your own. And Paul said, "I'm a prisoner of the Lord Jesus," but he said, "I magnify my office in the Lord." How the love of God constrained him to go amongst the unclean Gentiles who were considered dogs. But Paul said, "I magnify my office in the Lord because he's given me the opportunity to go minister to the dogs otherwise." Jesus himself regarded the Gentile woman like we are. Us people here. The Ethiopian woman said, "It's not meet to take the children's bread and give it to the dogs." She said, "That's true, Lord. But the dogs are willing to eat the scraps that fall from the master's table." That got him. That woke up the Holy Spirit. Knowing that soon the Jews' eyes was to be blind and he was to turn them to the Gentiles. I want to give you a little secret. The Lord has blessed me greatly, and to whom I give praise for praying for the sick. And I have watched it through these years, and I have found it to be the absolute truth. I can never, never get my prayer through till actually I get right into the real fellowship with the person I'm praying for. You've got to get down and feel that person's condition. Here not long ago down in Mexico, poor old Mexican man, black, hair gray and his mustache gray, never had probably a decent meal in his life. And there he come to the platform, Catholic by faith. moving around with a little shawl over him, no shoes on, his feet wrinkled. He's asking for me. And when he knelt down before me, I picked him up with the hands. He reached to find his beads, and old wore-out looking beads. He'd rubbed over him so much to say his prayers. I said, "That's not necessary, Dad. You don't have to do that. Just put that away just for a minute." The interpreter telling him. Then he fell around to me. I said, "Just come here, Dad. I want you to believe on the Lord Jesus." And he put his old hands up. He got over my shoulders and leaned his head across my shoulders. I looked down at him, little wrinkled feet, dusty, dirty. I slipped off one of my shoes to see if it was fitting. I'd really go barefoot and see him walk off. See, my heart went to him. He's lying. Now, that's when you really get into it. All of our culture will fail. All of our times will fail. All of our gifts will fail. But love never faileth. That's what takes the whole of the grip. I thought, poor old fella, about the age my daddy would be if he's living. And I thought, maybe he's got a child here somewhere. And he was mumbling off something, and the interpreter didn't give it to me. And I looked at the old fella, and I just couldn't, not in my eyes, but in my heart, I could just like teardrops dropping. Poor old thing. I thought, he probably never had a good meal in his life. Ragged. And I entered in with him. I entered into his affliction. I thought, besides being poor, besides his condition and his affliction, all that yet in a dark world, can't see, blind. I thought, oh God, what if that was my daddy standing there? Then I got the feeling of him. I said, Heavenly Father, be merciful to this poor blind man. It wasn't praying in my head. There's something in my heart praying for that. See? With love. And I heard him going, oh, 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 oh. And it was the Mexicans, brother, tens of thousands of screaming. I wonder what it was. He was screaming, I can see, I can see. There, he turned around and knelt down and started rubbing my shoes, trying to pat me on the foot. I raised him up and he run up down there. Old fellow, stoop over, ho, ho, ho. I can see, I can see. What was it? Entering into the fellowship with him. Love. That's what does it in all streams. Just pure, unadulterated love. That'll beat all of the gifts of laying on our hands. That'll beat all the interpretations and speaking with tongues. That'll be all the... I say the melodious voices of singing, that'll be everything if you'll just enter into the love of God with the person you're trying to win to the Lord Jesus. Well, you say, Brother Branham, I don't pray for the sick. I've got a person. All right, he's unsaved. Just don't make it up. The Holy Spirit knows better than that. Don't you be a hypocrite. You really mean it. And you get to studying about that poor lost friend of yours. Until you just simply can't stand it day and night. You just got to go to him and love. Watch what the Holy Spirit will do. You'll pull him right to you every time. The love of God constrains us. See, I have never even got to the text, and here it's time for me to close. The kitty's coming out. Let's read one verse anyhow. The revelation of Jesus Christ which God gave to him. I love that, don't you?
Amen.
The revelation. What is a revelation? It's something revealed. The revelation of Jesus Christ. That's what this Bible is. This Bible is to reveal Jesus Christ. Genesis reveals Christ. Exodus reveals Christ. Oh, my. I get back in there and I go to getting religious right away or feeling that. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, all of them, everything, even in Nehoma, Ruth, Job, all of them is a revelation of Jesus Christ, that in him might dwell the fullness that covers all space and all time. And all of
eternity holds is Jesus Christ. And all these little things here are just seeds for that great meeting day when the human race will be introduced in the resurrection through the Lord Jesus. The revelation, God revealing. The tree reveals Jesus Christ. The flower reveals Jesus Christ. The sanctified life reveals Jesus Christ. Sure. Say, how could the flower reveal Jesus Christ? It dies in the fall and rises in the spring. Amen. It serves its place on earth and beautifies. It opens up this little heart like that to pass by. Oh, isn't that wonderful? What an odor. What an aroma. The smell of the flower. And a bee comes by and says, I'll take my part out. The sightseer comes by and takes his part out. And he calls day and night to keep radiant, to give himself out to somebody else. No wonder Jesus said, consider the lilies of the field. How they probably to do his bidding. And yet, I tell you, the Solomon of all his glory was not arrayed like that. Then the lily was revealing Christ. He was called the lily of the valley, the rose of Sharon. See it? How Mr. Lilly, Pastor Lilly, he's a wonderful Bible teacher, Mr. Lilly is. He gets down into the valley, the dark place. He pushed himself up through the darkness of the earth. So what to do? To glorify himself, to glorify everything that comes in contact with him. And he has to toil day and night to keep his radiance of beauty, to keep the perfume of flowing. He's pulled day and night from the earth to get out.
Amen.
That's what a real Christian does.
Amen.
You pray and humble yourself and keep before God day and night. Or you might give yourself to somebody else.
Amen.
Not what you keep, it's what you give that counts. You must give yourself out to others.
Amen.
That's the way Jesus did. He gave himself to others. And this revelation of him here, the last revelation written, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto the servants things which will shortly come to pass. This is the last book. And he sent his angels to signify, sent to signify by his angels unto his servant John. My, how we could deal there a week. Notice, it's a revelation this book is. To the servants of God for the lifetime, when the time is at hand, when this book will be revealed. Now, over in the book, we find out that the book was closed and shut up and sealed until the end time. Through the ages, they've tried it. Remember the Bible that was taken out of the hand of God, sitting on his throne? It was closed and sealed with seven seals on the back. And no man in the heavens and earth, nowhere, was worthy to take the book or to loose the seals or even look thereon. But the Lamb come and opened it. You remember Daniel? Daniel, at the end time, he saw his last vision at the closing of his ministry. A vision seer. And look at it. Sent his angel. About 60 some odd years after Pentecost, here he's sending his angel to signify things that must shortly come to pass. Now, when was the book of Revelations ever wrote? The first place, it was wrote before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
And John, only by the Holy Spirit, filled the heart, you see, angelic beings associate together.
Amen.
Oh, I hope you get that. That just dropped right down. Breathe.
Amen.
Look. And if you've got the Holy Spirit in you,
Amen.
Then you're a candidate for association with the unseen world and the supernatural. No wonder people can't believe in those things. They've never come in contact. They've got nothing in here to believe with. But when the Holy Spirit comes into the heart quickly, he becomes then a twofold being. One of the earth to die and one of heaven to live. Amen. Anybody is still subject to death. But in his soul, he's passed from death into life. In his body, he has his earthly contact with his five senses. In his spirit, he has a contact with God through the Holy Ghost. And the angels of God visit in them, speaks with them, and they are messengers sent from God to reveal. And the brain messages from God to the individual. He's got to get the first thing first. You can't put the cupola on before the foundation's laid. So we got to remember that. But first thing first, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these other things will be added unto you. Angels sent to signify these things. Daniel, when he was closing his ministry, a great prophet, there was an angel that followed him. And the angel told Daniel, said, you are beloved before God. Daniel couldn't talk that face to face with God, but God sent an angel as an intermediate between him and God, that he could talk between them and bring angel. The very word angel means a messenger. If a boy would run the door, knock at the door there and tell the usher, I have a telegram here for Mrs. So-and-so, Mr. So-and-so. He would be a messenger, an earthly angel. Amen. Your pastor, when he stands here on the platform ministering the word of God, he is God's angel to the church. Messenger to the church. Therefore, a pastor should never leave that word but stay straight with the word, because he's feeding the shepherd. The word pastor means shepherd. Look it up and find out if that ain't right. Amen. A pastor is a shepherd. And the Holy Ghost has made him overseer over a certain flock to feed them. What with? Amen. The word of God. Amen. Oh, my. Watch all of those names. They mean something. Every name in the Bible. When you see one name in the Bible, it means something. Yes. Did you know Israel's wives, when they gave birth to the 12 patriarchs, each one of those mothers, when they were having the baby, and the baby was being born, and them groaning, the grooms that they came out and named those boys, and the very grooms that they give signified the nature of a child and the place that make their final resting place.
Amen.
Every groom. Amen. Under the power of the Holy Ghost. That's the reason we should be groaning in the Spirit. Not I don't mean a lot of this, but I mean really in travail for the church. Then the Holy Spirit, then you can get some real speaking with tongues and interpretation. The Holy Spirit making utterance of healthy groans and prayer.
Amen.
Be real truth too. Be something right now that you'll see take place. Then Daniel, closing, at the last he's seen an angel come down, put one foot on the land and one on the sea, a rainbow over his head. He raised up his hands and swore by him that lives forever and ever, that time shall be no more. At the finishing of that time that he told him. In other words, this the body of time that we're living in now. From the time of coming of the prince until this day. And said, at that time, the mystery of God should be finished.
Amen.
And the world groaning, waiting today. People don't know the mystery of God. Why, they've not been taught the mystery of God. The only thing that is taught, John Church, put your name on the book, be a good fellow, treat your neighbor right, that's all right. But you must know the mystery of God. No man can reveal it to you. But the one that has the book in the Bible says, no man can call Jesus the Christ, only by the Holy Ghost.
Amen. Thank God. Hallelujah.
this grand old Holy Ghost church is going to come out one of these days and shine like you've never seen. And this great evangelical paper, where archbishops and everything write in, a great writer, McKay, one of the greatest in the whole world, on a great article in his paper this month, that if the Catholic or the Protestant church every time God, it'll serve the feet of Pentecost and learn it.
Amen.
Amen. God's not known by theology. He's known by the new birth, being born again. The Pentecostal church has accepted and believed, and don't care who thinks anything about it, they've accepted it. Now the devil's put some counterfeits in there, throw some drainage over on the side, and the evangelical church points to the drainage and points over the top of the real and the born again Pentecostal church.
Amen.
With all the signs and wonders.
Praise God.
They're there. But the devil's got his counterfeits, which the Bible said he would have.
Yes.
But remember, Daniel was told by the angel, Daniel heard seven thunders. They uttered their voices. Daniel grabbed his pen and started to write. And the angel said, don't you write it?
Amen.
Are you ready? Let's get into it just for about the next 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Listen. Don't you write it? John saw the same thing, and it had already been written outside of the Bible, and had seven seals on the back of the book. That no man could open those seals. That was them voices. There's the Bible written, which is a mystery itself. But on the back side of the Bible, the Revelations and so does Daniel, say that there's seven voices to be uttered that no man could open. No man knows what it was.
Amen.
But the Bible said, and it told Daniel and also John, that in the last days,
amen,
these seven voices will be known by the real true church. You get it? Can you see where the false and counterfeit is trying their best to keep great men from places like that?
Amen.
Just day before yesterday afternoon, one of the greatest evangelical men in the whole world sat in my room crying.
Amen.
And receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
To make arrangements with Billy Graham to come to my house as soon as he comes to Louisville. I got his name and thing here to come over to seek and talk about the baptism of the Holy Ghost and its power.
Amen.
Now, I'm quoting this. Billy said, sitting one place, a woman standing crying with a big brother in his head, and something struck him, and he's rushed forward to pray for it. He said, what happened to me?
Amen.
God in this last days is going to draw true hearts from everywhere.
Amen.
No matter how much counterfeit and chaff the devil has, God will rise his church right out of it.
Amen.
It'll be a phoenix for sure.
Amen.
I'm standing in this platform.
And
the hour is at hand.
Amen.
The cold and farm is weaving away. The evangelical, the social gospel, and all these other things are gone. The fantastic side is going in such radical fanaticism so anybody blind could see it.
Yes.
But God is putting his church out.
Amen.
Like the great water lily, through a little tiny seed, falling way down to the bottom of a miry, mucky, dirty, grub scummy pond. And it winds its way up through the darkness, through all the mud and all the scum, and becomes the brightest thing that you ever looked into the paper, with a radiance like the sunshine. So is the church of the living God.
Amen.
That's been born down in a bunch of fanaticism and chaos. But he's wailed away through the vine. Until he's on top of the old spring for the wings.
Hallelujah.
For the fly.
Amen. Oh,
many shall run to and fro, and the people that know their God shall do exploits.
Oh,
in that day, God's revelation to his church. That still little flock.
Hey,
positionally stay where you are. As Sister Gertie and Sister Angie used to sing here, keep holding on.
Hallelujah.
Don't worry. God's waiting and trying and pressing to get it, the mystery of God revealed to his church.
Amen.
That's what's holding back the coming of Christ now, the great millennium. is this great supernatural power that really lays dormant in the church. Many a man sitting in the pulpit this morning preaching a social gospel, but down in his heart he really believes that there is the power sufficient.
Yes.
What he wants to see is to put this power in its duty.
Amen.
So thankful to see it coming to pass.
Hallelujah.
So glad to see it.
Amen.
Made manifest.
The
revelation of Jesus Christ. Jesus, the Bible said, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. God in his infinite mercy, by his word, not some mysterious something is fanatically, but through the preaching of the word, he is manifesting himself, the risen, living Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Doing the very same things he did when he was here on earth, he's doing it again. And his power and manifestation. And if I be lifted up from the earth, I'll draw all men unto me. Hungry, hearty, great man. The great council meeting, not long ago, 1958, I was asked yesterday to represent the supernatural working of God before 600 and something delegates from all the world. God tarries until 1958 to be in Boston, Massachusetts. One of the great man with the general gospel, David E. Quincy, said, Brother Branham, when all the delegates of the world is gathered together, the Christian nations from everywhere is gathered together at this great world council, that just the speaking of the word and the power of the revealed the Holy Spirit standing present. He said evangelicals from everywhere will sway in, and when they get a taste of it in the real gospel, he'll turn and reject our dispensation and issue in the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
God can't be just and let honest hearts lay out there and sizzle in hell for it. He's got to be just and he's got to get it to him somehow.
Amen.
We're in the last days. The revelation of Jesus Christ. God gave unto him to show unto his servants things that shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel. Angel, how is he going to signify? God gave the revelation of Jesus Christ to a servant, prophet, on the Isle of Patmos, signified by an angel.
Amen.
Amen. I hope you see it. Isn't he wonderful?
Amen.
Watch what John does. Just read another verse and we'll close. Who bear record of the Word of God. Wasn't off on some tantrum. He wasn't sitting back there with social gospel. He stayed right with the Word. He bore record. How can he bear record unless the Word be made manifest to what he preaches? If the Word is a seed, and the seed will produce, how can I say to the corn field unless the seed produces exactly corn? Not right? God was bearing record to John that he was preaching the Word of God. Bore record, the Word, a testimony of Jesus Christ, and all things which he saw. Blessed is he that readeth. How many wants a blessing?
Amen.
Then read it.
Amen. Thank God. Hallelujah.
Isn't that marvelous? Blessed is he that readeth. And they that hear the word and of the prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Oh my, we just to go into it right now. Look, when is the time at hand? When the revelation of Jesus Christ has been revealed to the body of Christ.
Amen.
And Christ has been revealed, not dead but alive,
Amen.
Living in his church,
Amen.
Doing the same things he did, the same ministry, the same gospel, the same fact, the resurrected Christ, when he's revealed by his angel into the church, then the time is at hand. And never a time since that day until this has the mystery of Jesus Christ ever been revealed until these last few years? Then the time is at hand. What's the world in the satchel? The atomic, the hydrogen, the cobalt, all the bombs and things they got. The whole world is trembling. Everything is shaking and trembling.
Amen.
All nature's groaning.
You know that.
Amen.
I know that. The Pentagon knows that.
Russia knows that. England knows that.
Amen.
The world knows it. The time is at hand.
Amen.
What's making nature quiver the way it is?
Because the time is at hand.
This church of his deliverance is the perfect type of Israel in deliverance. When Israel took its stand upon the pure, holy, unadulterated Word of God, it was going to stand and took its march. Moses led the children of Israel with a little bread, kneaded bread on top of their head, kosher, and they marched to the Red Sea. God's path led them right up to the Red Sea. Well, he said, now how are we going to get across? And somebody looked back and said, look, coming yonder, the dust is born. There's thousands upon thousands of Pharaoh's chariots right behind us. That mixed multitude, it went with them, began to quiver and shake, which followed, finally perished for the gainsaying of Korah. No doubt for what the very nature of the hills shook. Go to see one of the most bloody massacres that you've ever seen. A poor little helpless bunch of people standing there on the side of the sea. Little children backing up against mama holding her dress. Poor old dad leaning against her boy crying. Then someone said, my days, but I hate to see you going. Look, coming out of there.
Amen.
Oh, nature who dread death. Even the flowers, the trees, and everything else dread death. Nature quivered and groaned and shook under their feet. When they seen that bloody massacre coming, what was God doing?
Amen.
Oh, all the time, they failed to realize hanging right there stood a supernatural power.
Amen.
A halo of God. A pillar of fire hanging there that would stand between them and that enemy when it comes time to stand.
Amen. Amen.
Thank God. Nature quivering. The sea began to get nervous.
Amen.
The moon looking down quivering. The birds flew from the scene. The animals run back. Oh, what a murder of millions of people going to die in a few minutes. And they were all going to, what were they doing? They were following the path of God.
Amen.
It seemed foolish, it seemed crazy, but they were walking in the light.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank God for that.
Walking in the light.
Amen.
You remember when we used to sing that song? We'll walk in the light, that beautiful light. Come where the dewdrops of mercy are bright. Shine all around us by day and by night. Jesus, the light of the world. He's raised from the dead. He's appeared before us. He showed signs and wonders infallibly. Not some fanatic stuff, but the Bible signs and wonders that he's with us and he's leading us on. And we're coming to a place where there ain't bombs. There ain't cobalt bombs. Oh my! And a proclamation rising up now to stop all interdenominations and consolidate to a one great big evangelical church of the Protestants. Which will cooperate and join with Catholicism to combat communism. It's a work of the devil.
Amen. Amen, sir.
God never associates Satan's church together.
Amen.
God leads his church and we don't expect political leaders to lead him.
Amen.
Not even a church for a politics. Every man that's born to the Spirit of God is free.
Amen.
Amen. Here she is, I'll get me in now. The people begin to look around and go, oh, what can we do? What can we do?
Amen.
Oh, how foolish it is to say, what can we do?
Amen.
Just look to him that's leading.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
What are you going to do? Brother, you past 30 years old. Sister, you are bareheaded and dead sitting by you. You sick and afflicted, you can look at your hands. Every time you look at one another, you know one thing certain, you're going to die. Every time you hear animals go down the road, it speaks death right ahead of you. Every time you pass by a graveyard and see a tomb, it says death ahead of you. Every time you see a wrinkle coming in the face or a gray hair or stooped shoulder, it says death ahead of you. Oh, but how happy the Christian can stand right at the brink of the Dead Sea. Moses turned his face to God. Hands begin to fall. That pillar of fire came down. Stood between them and the danger, darkness to them. If you refuse light, it'll turn to darkness every time. And it was darkness to them, but it was marching orders to these to go on. And when they got to the sea opened up, a great east wind coming from the very direction they were, blowing on the top of their heads. Of Ariel come down and scooting back the sea. And the sea got scared because God ordained to pass through the thing. God was showing his love to his children. He likes to get you in a tight place sometimes so he can just manifest himself. As the shepherd once said, he broke the sheep's leg. So what did you do that for? Said, so I could feed her, love her, and prove to her I love her. There you are. Said, then she'll follow me. Things which must shortly come to pass. And it's signified by his hands. John runs to the seven churches which are in Asia. Grace be unto you and peace be multiplied. Oh, my. From him which is, which was, which is to come. Jesus, what? Three things. Which was, which is to come. The same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. A little later on in the scripture, the next chapter, he said, I am he. That was dead and is alive again forevermore. They have the keys. Not some church, Peter and Cathedral of Rome or the Episcopalian or the whatever it is. Got a key. That's the key to fellowship. But I have the keys of death and hell. Amen. Oh, don't you love him today? He has the key to your joy. He has the key to your happiness. He has the key of your deliverance from the grave. I have the key of death and hell. Hades. I can unlock the supernatural. I can unlock the natural. I've got the key of death and hell here in my hand. Oh, there is a fountain open. Come take of the waters of life freely. That is a fountain filled with blood. From some Emmanuel's veins, when sinners plunge beneath the flood, lose all their guilty stains. When you come back up from there, brother, you don't have to take a rabbi, priest, or preacher's word. In your heart, there's something that's mellowed you to a fellowship. There's something that's made all old things pass away, and things have become new. There's something that loves you there, and something that's in your heart. Paul said there's nothing present, nothing future, neither sickness or peril. Nothing could ever separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. No backsliding, no ups, no downs, no nothing else. Nothing can ever separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. Sickness, sorrow, hunger, strife, differences in the church, difference of opinion. No matter what it is, nothing can ever separate you from the love of God.
Amen.
Don't you want to plunge today while we pray?
Amen.
Sister, would you come here just a minute while we bow our head in a word of prayer? Just before praying, I wonder if someone in the church, the little group here this morning, would say, Brother Branham, remember me. I'm lifting my hand. I'm sorry I had to chop the message up this morning the way I did, but just got a few minutes because I got to be at another place in a short time. And another service coming off, and I got to go right away, and I want to pray for the sick before going. But just while you're here, are you convinced? Have you really passed from death to life? Is your name really been initiated, really remembered? Is it on God's book today? And are you at peace with God and the world? And all the old things passed away and everything's become new. Is there a real, rich, brotherly, godly something in your heart that you know that the world can't give? Are you loving sinners so well that when you talk to them, you just become one of them? Paul said he'd give his life. He would be a castaway. If God would only save some of his sinner friends. In other words, his people, the Jews who were against him. Is that kind of a religion you got this morning, friend? If it isn't, there's a fountain. All filled with love. Gone from
manual thing. By faith, the only way you can do it, their sinners plunge their souls right beneath that flood. It's the work of God. What happens? You lose all your guilty shame. It's left behind you. Like Pharaoh's army was left behind Israel. Follow the instructions. Not the emotion, the instructions. If Moses was going to follow the emotions of the people, they would have been running all over the mountains screaming, and Pharaoh's army would have got them. But they followed instructions. God said, stand still now. And see the glory of God. Just stand still. You don't have to be excited. Stand still and see the glory of God. For this day, God will fight and you'll stand still. They just walked across the sea. And the uncircumcised, unimpersonators, trying to do so, drowned in the sea. Father God, this little bitty flock here this morning, but there's real men and women sitting here that's your children that believes and loves you. I pray, God, for them. Maybe some of them have never accepted you yet, never really had the experience of all the old carnal things of the world dying out. They just lived on a church confession. They told people and told others. Maybe they've been baptized or something. And Christian articles, but never really have ever been saved. They don't really know what it is. Maybe they've just been mentally, emotional, intellectually professed Christians, thinking that they're right. God has said in that word, there is a way that seems right unto a man. Seems like it's right. You got it. But the end thereof is the ways of death. God, let every man, woman, boy, or girl search your heart at this time. Not them, but let the Holy Spirit search them. And if they will make up in their heart, yes, I believe I've been wrong. I really have never got to that place yet to where all those things have passed away. Now, our Father accepts you just now to be my help while you're knocking at my heart. You're still calling me, or you wouldn't be talking to me like this. And may they raise up their hands not to me, but to you. And by doing so, say, from this day henceforth, Lord, I'm taking myself up to the river of self-denial. I'm taking myself up to the river of death. There I'm plunging beneath to lose everything that's wrong with me. All my habits and uncleanness of my thoughts. All my differences. My quarrels and arguments and tempers and all these things. I'm just plunging them right beneath the flood that when I come up, I want to feel like the gospel said that I should. Clean. Ready with a pure heart, real love for my fellow man. No matter how cruel they are, I still love them. I want to enter into a fellowship with thee. So I will feel to my enemies like you do. I want to really know it, Lord. Well, we can't play with it now. It's too late. We might be gone after today. We might be gone after 5 minutes from now. We'll never have another chance. God, let men and women think of this solemnly. Sitting in this little church today, while we ask it in Christ's name and while your heads are bowed, I wonder if there'll be one raise your hand and say, God, remember me, I'm the one who wants that experience with you. I'm raising my hand. Now, if you haven't got that real positive assurance, just raise your hand. God bless you, too. God bless you, lady. Everyone that's not positive, you got. God bless you, sir. God bless you, sister. Now, something. God bless you, my brother. God bless you, my sister. You're not real positive. See? Whenever you go through, brother, nature, all that you are, change. Oh, yes, I believe, Brother Branham. But if it's just an intellectual affair, you're believing because you have a mind to believe. That's not what I'm talking about now. I mean, you really have been saved. You've been sealed by God's eternal love. That you can love the people that's unlovely to you. And it's such a place that you can stand before them hold her hands and not with fanatic, or fanaticism rather, but with a real true heart so he can feel it. He knows where you're putting it on or not. Take hold of his hand. Say, dear beloved brother, I've been in the wrong. I pray you forgive me. I love you. And with that kind of an attitude, can you really from your heart do that? Can you lay aside all the things of the world just to serve him? Does he become first place in your life? If so, bless you, and his blessings will be on you. If not, accept him just now, and he will bless you, and his blessings be on you. Wouldn't you rather have him smiling at you? I'd rather have him to smile on me and every person in the world hate me. Of course, I believe if he smiles on me and loves me, the people will love me too. All his children will. And he'll fix me in such a condition that I can love the unlovely like he did, because his spirit would be in me. Once more, before we pray, if there's any has not, raise your hands and wants to be remembered in this prayer. Will you put up your hand? God bless you, brother. God bless you, brother. God bless you, brother. God bless you, brother. God bless you, sister. God bless you, brother. That's right. All right. God bless you, sonny boy. Now, he sees you. There's a record taken right this morning. You mark my words. If you Christ me, and which by honor you set, and by love, you Christ me to be God's fear. Remember, this is on the books of heaven. He's present. Wouldn't you like to live where you're conscious that the unseen world is right with you all the time? To realize when you walk out here and get in your car, angels take their positions to the side of you? When you walk up there with that man so unlovely to you, that the Holy Spirit standing right above you and angels all around you? Is that right, Brother Branham? The Bible said so. The angels of God are camped about those. They don't go back to heaven, they camp there. They're sent on missions to watch you through life's journey. Boy, isn't that wonderful? Now, Heavenly Father, time will not permit us. We feel your Spirit just moving through us. And we love you because the Holy Spirit loves the Word. He gets in the Word, and he takes the Word and reveals it, opens it up. And otherwise, he reveals Jesus through his Word. For in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was made flesh, which is Christ. And now the Word turns right back around and reveals again and makes manifest the risen Christ. Not a historical one. Oh, God, may the church see that this morning. But it's a revelation. The Word bringing it to life. The Word itself revealing the resurrected Lord Jesus. And he's in our midst, waiting for a time that we can all be coaxed together and he can march us into the millennium. Triumph as a victor. Oh, God, bless those who raise their hands. They're desiring that lovely life of full, consecrated, sanctified, filled with the Holy Spirit, dedicated to God, washed in the blood. They long for it. They're waiting now. And may you, not by any other means, but may the Holy Spirit just come down and when they go out of here, may they find out all those things that they once hung on to is gone. May it be left behind dead. May they go out this morning humble, sweet, loving Christians with faith, believing. May they live so consecrated to thee at the end of the life, they would come to thee having this assurance that they pass from death unto life and they know Christ and the power of his resurrection, because not is he just a letter or a word or a cycle or a time, but that he is a living, present tense, resurrected Jesus Christ living in their life. Grant it, Lord. We ask it in his name and for his glory. Amen. Thank you.
maybe just now. He warned. Yeah, I confessed to him. I told him I longed for it. Then he warned to get away. Wonderful. Do you feel real clean in your soul? Feel all condemnation. How many feel that? Won't you raise your hand for a testimony to the person sitting next to you? All sins are gone. It's all under the blood now. I feel real good about it. I believed on the Lord Jesus. Ever since by faith I saw that stream. By faith I saw that stream, thy flowing wound supply, redeeming. Love has been my theme and shall be till I die. All right, all together. Ever since by faith I saw that thing, thy glory to the eyes. It is not me, where there is tongues, they shall speak. Where there is prophecy, it shall fail. Where there is knowledge, it shall vanish. We know in part, we see in part, we prophesy in part. But when we see face to face, then we'll know as we are known. And that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part shall be done away with. Perfect, redeeming, unadulterated love of the Holy Ghost into a human soul that's passed from death unto life. Oh, I feel real good, don't you? How many like to sing an old song with me? Would you like to do it? The one we used to sing years ago when there wasn't any sawdust in the church. Everybody come in, sit down, no talking. Everybody just white as they could be. Sitting, meditating. The pianists that come out, I'll be in the prayer room studying. They come out down at the cross where my Savior died. Down there for cleansing from sin I cried. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to His name. You remember them days? The Holy Spirit would come down that meekness and love, convince sinners, and they'd come to the cross. Let's just sing it now, every one of us. How many know? Let's sing it now, just an old-fashioned song now. All right. At the cross where my faith is there, the cleansing from sin I cried. Oh, we did. just bow your head a minute. I am so wondrously saved from sin. Are you? Jesus, we live by with Him. There has the book where He took me in. Oh, my. I just bow your head and pray. And glory to Him. Think of how good He's been to you. The many trials you went through. When a little kitty was sick, God healed it. When you were laying on the hospital, ether waiting for you. What happened? Who brought you through? I'm the Lord who heals thee. Remember what you said when you started into the room? Remember when you thought that night you had having a heart attack? Oh, God. What do you do? Glory to Yes. Glory to You. Precious name. There at the cross where He took But take your word. Three, two, hear me. That's coming. I reach out over to the person sitting close to you. Take a hold of their hand. Say, God bless you, brother. God bless you, sister. I'm so glad I'm a Christian, aren't you? Shake hands with someone sitting there. There at the cross where He took glory to His name. I just love to feel this way. I love to worship God in quietness like this. Something that's got some real meaning to it. Just to feel as if something's near. What happens? At the altar call, when those sinners accepted Christ, the angels raised up from their seats. See? That's what makes you feel this way. You read that, Brother Hickson? Oh, glory. This is worship. When the soul is worshiping God. The word's gone forth, see? The Holy Spirit's a blessing and watering you. Precious name. There to my heart was brought up. Glory to His name. Our Heavenly Father, as the beautiful sacred presence of the Holy Spirit. Now standing here blessing His children, many times He's had to correct them, for every son that cometh to God must first be chastened and tried, receive child training, reproof, not no exceptions, every one. But when we endure the correction of our Father, then it yieldeth for us the present and pleasant fruit. I pray, God, that You'll just let each child know that not go away just trying to imagine, but let them know that this is Your blessing to them. The sensory milk of the gospel pouring down in their soul, milk and honey out of Canaan's land, new wine to stimulate them in faith, worshiping, hearts bowed before Thee. Hands up, tears running down cheeks, quietly, reverently worshiping. Oh, God, I'm so happy. I just love You so, Lord. I want to express to You my feeling, if I can, just in thanksgiving, expressing the very adoration of my heart. But I adore these, Thou matchless one. I love thee. Many times in great trials, see an airplane pitching in the air, saw him twitching around and looked at the ground below me, whirling around. Just a little prayer, it straightens out. No one to be plunged to death in a minute. Standing out there before witch doctors and devils, and challenging and walking forward. Just a little prayer, set them standing paralyzed. How demons scream and come from your children by prayer. Oh, your love, Lord. See the little one sick. Come say, Daddy, will you pray for me? See you still the fever quite in the child, like a mother hushing it on her bosom. How we thank thee. Maybe trouble's coming. We know as we look ahead and see the great stormy tides of death yonder. As David of old said, I'll fear no evil. Thou art with me. We thank thee. We adore thee. Seeing the souls come to thee. They're crippled and afflicted and blind and deaf and dumb being healed as a vindication of your presence. Bless this little audience now as we wait. We thank you for every soul that comes to you. And we pray that you'll bless them exceedingly abundantly today. And may from this day henceforth all their trials and troubles will be over. May the war between them and God be settled right now. And may they be reconciled to God through the blood of His Son, knowing that He gave His Son to take war between God and man. To reconcile man back to God, who was at enmity once with God, but now has been brought nigh. God has received them as His sons and daughters. Now they're not no more enemies and aliens, but they're beloved children. We pray that you'll let them recognize that. Don't let the enemy take that from their heart, but let them recognize that you knocked at their heart and they accepted you. Raise their hands. That was it, Lord. And we pray that they'll recognize that and always love you and love their fellow man. For we ask that in Christ's name, amen. Shine all around us by day and by night. Jesus, light of the world. We walk in this light. It's a beautiful light. It comes with the dewdrop of mercy. Shine all around us by day and night. Oh, Jesus, the light of the world. Come, ye saints, our faith proclaim. Jesus, the light of the world. The light of glory. Let's sing it now, glory. We walk in this light. It's such a beautiful light. It comes with a few drops of mercy, our bright. Shine all around us by day. I guess I'm just filled up from the revival. Let's sing it again, will you? Let's close your eyes and raise your hands. Canada, wherever you're from, this little group of people here from different parts of the nation. Let's sing it out of the close of our eyes and lift up our hands. We walk in the light. It's such a beautiful light. It comes with a dewdrop on mercy. Shine all around us, my dear. Oh God, Jesus, light of the world. Party for the ministry. Thank you. In the Old Testament, he was a pillar of fire that led the children of Israel. That was Christ, the angel of the covenant. All that knows that, say amen. In the New Testament, he manifested himself in flesh to take away sin, to bring us back to be sons and daughters of God. One day, down on the road, come a little old sassy Jew. And he was going down to arrest those people who were crying and praising God and prophesying. And what met him? A beautiful life. What body is Jesus in now? A life. The same pillar of fire that he was in the beginning. He met Saul of Tarsus. And the light came so close in into his eyes that it blinded him. So what a persecutest thou mean? But who is it, Lord, that I'm Jesus? Today, here he is. With us. We've even got his picture with us. Isn't he lovely? He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Then we'll walk. We'll walk in the light. He manifests his word. He's alive. Beauty, oh life, come with you, God. Now let the stick come up around the altar. Now I won't see great part. He's a lion. Something come on my mind. I remember one time in a service, I was praying for the sick. And there was a lady that brought to the platform a little crippled girl. And the Holy Spirit was present. And they, now we'll be through just in the next 10 minutes. And they brought a little crippled girl. And she was a little polio. It was called paralysis, infantile paralysis. And her little legs were drawn up, and she couldn't walk. You know where I was having this healing service? Strange as it seemed, it was in a Dunkard meeting. Dunkard, not Pentecostal, Dunkard. Nobody knew what that was in the church.
Amen.
The Lord just led me there.
Amen.
They didn't know nothing about the baptism of the Spirit. Talk about heaven on earth. The love settled down just like it did now.
Amen.
I said, now we'll start the prayer line. I said, all of you with prayer cards beginning at a certain number stands in my right. Just line them up. About the second person was a lady packing a little crippled baby, a little girl. The Holy Spirit began to speak about it. And the lady sits at the piano was saying, the great physician now is near, the sympathizing Jesus. He speaks the drooping hearts to cheer. No other name but Jesus. While she was running down those ivory keys, I had a little bottle of oil in my pocket I'd made up. It was olive oil. They come from an olive tree. And I went out and prayed for the sick that night. We got the spirit. We got the cry. The tears began to run off my face. I had this oil. So when I found out this oil was, this tears were spattin' in this oil. I went and got three other ailments. And anointed into it. I took and anointed the little girl with that. I laid my hands up on her and I said, Heavenly Father, you are the great physician. And here you are here now. And the little girl looked over to me, wiggled, jumped out of my arms, hit the floor, went running down across the floor. Her mother fainted, dunkered. And the lady at the piano looked around and she turned real white and just collapsed. And the piano continually played. The great physician now is here, the sympathizing Jesus. He speaks the dripping hearts to tear. No other name but Jesus. A little drunkard girl sitting out there, I noticed her catching her breath real hard. She never heard of Pentecost. Beautiful little child, long, white hair, blonde, picked up. You know how they dress them, little white hats on. It just fell off her head. She raised her hand and began singing. She didn't know what she was singing. She was so in the spirit. And a whole church of one accord come weeping to the altar. and accept the Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit, baptize them, everyone, in love. How the weeping and making right and shaking each other's hands take place. That's Pentecost.
Amen.
The same Jesus is here. I don't try to see you're trying to think, well, you got your mind on something else. Well, maybe this, or I'll take a chance. You just might as well go back to your seat. That's your settle in your mind. This is it.
Amen.
When you get that, it's over. Until that, it's still there.
Amen.
Now, if you will, move out of as close as you can to the altar and fill up the places, and we'll ask for the devil to help you. Here's the anointing oil. I want Brother Neville to anoint each one as I lay hands on them. Now, if you really believe it, this is it. Really believe with all your heart. Now let's sing real softly, all of us together, as we sing now, the Great Physician. Subject to like passions as we are.
Hey.
God, may we never, never be guilty of making the gospel so complicated to people that they'd think it was man instead of God. Now we're going to simply follow out the rules.
Hey,
and with these songs and hymns, we have entered into a blessed fellowship with one another.
Hey,
so we have a high priest that's come with us. He's entered in with us, and he can be touched by the feeling of our infirmities. Many are standing at the altar this morning needy. And I'm sending forth your beloved and honorable servant, my brother Neville. An honorable man, a just, as Elijah, subject to like passions like Elijah. All of us. And I'm sending forth, you said, let them anoint them in oil. Pray over them. Them, the body. Prayer of faith will save the sick. And I'm praying with all my heart, Lord, for every individual here. You know their needs. And I'm praying that you'll heal them.
Amen.
Now, James wrote that to the church under inspiration of the Holy Spirit given to him by God, which was formed before the foundation
Amen.
Of the world. Jesus, in leaving, said they should also lay their hands on the sick,
yeah.
and they shall recover. As I'm sending my brother to do the work that James commissioned by the Holy Ghost to anoint, we're coming back also by the commission of the Lord Jesus and the Holy Ghost to lay hands on them, and they shall recover.
Amen.
Now, Lord, with all my heart, and with many people this morning joining with me, with all my strength and with all my might,
Amen.
I pray the prayer of faith for every person standing there,
Amen.
Asking that they will not have any doubt in their mind, but they will return to their seat with a sure and perfect confidence that God's commission has been granted to them and His word is sure to be made manifest in their healing.
I pray this blessing to them. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen. Everyone be... for a little girl and prophesied over about a big thing sticking up on her head, over her face here, how it would go down and be made well. Here's the little girl with every bit of it gone over her face and everything else her mother brings for the glory of God and to show that's all right up there to the sky. Sister, Jesus said one time, was not there nine healed? One come and give glory. Thank God for it. Now, honey, the hair will grow back over that. You remember what Brother Benham said to you up there that night? And you'll be perfectly well and normal. And we bow to give thanks to God. Now, Father, we thank you for your healing. And we thank you for that loyal mother and lovely little girl who is willing to come and show that Jesus still lives and reigns. To see that big, ugly-looking thing like a cancer puffed up all over her head and side there, and you heal her and tuck it away. We thank you for it. And we pray now that you'll bless that loyal mother whose heart is thrilled. When the little girl is a woman, may she still be testifying of your praise. Now continue to lay hands on the sick as Brother and I anoint. And may they receive the same kind of blessing as this little girl did. If they could only believe it in childlike faith like the child did, it should be so.
Amen.
Very fine. I'm so happy this morning that we were in the time of worship and having this time of fellowship together, one with the other, while the blood of the Lord Jesus cleanses us from all sin.
Amen.
And to the strangers in our gates, we want to welcome you back. Come tonight to the evening service. If you're in the city and would like to drop back and be with us again tonight, I'd be very happy. The doors is always open. We have no denomination, no creed, Christ. No law but love, and no book but the Bible.
Amen.
And we want you, we invite you, and you're cordially invited. And I also ask you, as you go on your journey, when you leave our city and different parts of the country, to remember me in your prayer as your fellow servant in Christ and in the love and fellowship of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
I got to leave pretty soon now to go into Canada and into California. Frankly, I'm moving to California. So then, I want you to be in prayer for me, greatly in prayer for me now. It's when I've got something, I've got to make a decision right away, see? And it's very strenuous, and I pray that you'll take me up on your heart and remember me, because I know that the prayer is what changes things. Prayer is what does things for us. And now, today, I'm sorry to keep you this late and keep our dear brother pastor here away from his pulpit. I'm so sorry, but I just maybe don't know. I got to move right quick, and I didn't see any to be little interviews laid on a desk. But while the pastor's taken, brother's come all the way from England. He said to see me just a few minutes, and I want to see the brother. I wish I had time to shake their hands to see you all, but I don't. Now, in order to get a little interview on these mornings when I'm here, you call my secretary, Brother Cox, sitting here, and he grants those things. That's the reason we have to make our time so we can lock for those things. So this brother not knowing this and coming from England, I'm supposed to be away from here in the next 12 minutes. So I that's 12 o'clock. So I got to hurry and get away. And so y'all excuse me. I'll go to the room with the brother for the interview for a few minutes. And I'll see y'all again as soon as I get back. Pray for me. Services now will be in Philadelphia Church Thursday night. Will be at the convention hall this next coming week. At the Wednesday night, thank you, sir, we'll be at the Full Gospel Christian Men's Fellowship internationally. And I'm to speak the morning of the 23rd. It's the Limac Hotel in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And then to the convention hall, I think it is, the following, that night, that's on Saturday, and on Sunday, I'm at Heart Harbor Tabernacle with, Reverend Gordon Peterson, and that's a preaching service. And on Monday night, and Monday all day, is in the convention for 5 days. Then I've got a Thus Saith the Lord to take to a woman way in northern Canada. And I'm going up there, wife's going along with me, there's kiddies, just for a little time. I'm coming back down to see my friend Ern Baxter. I got something to say to him in Vancouver. Immediately after that, I go down into Washington to Mr. Rasmussen for one day there for a visit with him. Then I go down to La Crescenta, California to set some things in order, which my tent is already made and ready to go out on the field now. And so I'll probably start on the west coast of California, going down through California and Arizona this coming winter, the Lord's willing, with exceptions of the time open between the meetings for a service to go into Africa again. David Duplessis and many of the men here from Africa that wanted to set up the African campaign was within this meeting, going to meet up there. We're going to get with Brother Arden back and have prayer to see where the next meeting will be. You love him?
Amen.
Then you have to love me. Of course, I'm in him. And we love one another. The Lord bless you. All your brother now. God bless you. Thanks for this time.
Amen.
God bless you.